This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. It's great to have you with us for the Wednesday edition of the Noon Business Hour. I'm Cisco Cotto.
I'm Chris Kreidel. We've got windy and humid conditions right now. Expect periods of rains and a thunderstorm today. It's 73 degrees at O'Hare, 70 at the lakefront.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Another chance for you to win $1,000 comes your way at 12:24. But let's kick things off with an update of Wall Street on quite a down day. No other way to say it. At Bloomberg, here's Elisa Parenti.
That's right, Cisco. Investors have been concerned about the trade situation with China for months, but now we're starting to see those tensions and these new tariffs taking a toll on profits for U.S. companies. The Dow is sinking 421 points. We are at 26,008. That's a loss of 1 2/3%. The NASDAQ down 2 1/3%, or 179 points, and the S&P sinking 1 2/3%, or 48 points. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index also lower by more than 1.5%. Some examples, Estee Lauder and Tiffany, they're both in the red, down between 6 and 8% on the day on concerns that customs rules are more strictly being enforced on their goods going into China. And the manufacturer, Fastenal, out with a quarterly report today, says tariffs are raising the cost of materials, and that is going to impact its profit. Prices being paid by companies for goods and services rose in September, according to the Producer Price Index that measures inflation at the wholesale level, rose 0.2% after a 0.1% decline in August. The monthly rise was fed partly by a surge in the cost of transportation and warehousing services. Back to you, Cisco and Chris.
Thanks, Elisa. On today's Noon Business Hour, the future of Sears. And we'll have analysis and recommendations on the markets.
CVS, Health, and Aetna getting the go-ahead. We'll have all the details. And Personal Finance Wednesday, how to get defensive when the markets begin slipping. All of that and loads more on today's Noon Business Hour. And
discussing the news affecting your money. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
A leading analyst is looking at the potential impact of rising interest rates on bank profits. We're going to be talking with him in our next segment. But right now, there are developments in the ongoing saga of suburban-based Sears. Let's get an update with Catherine Doherty, a corporate finance reporter for Bloomberg in New York. Thanks for joining us today, Catherine. What right now is the status of Sears?
Well, it seems as if the company is getting closer to filing than ever before. We have sources saying that the filing could come as soon as this weekend. It seems that the retailer has shifted. Eddie Lampert and his fund, ESL, had previously tried to keep the company out of bankruptcy and had pitched a proposal to its lenders. But it seems as if that proposal might not happen, and it will end up having to sort itself out in court.
And what does that mean then for the people working there?
So when a company goes through bankruptcy, there are protections, which is why a company this large, that's sometimes the process is much better for employees, and you have to make sure that along the way, everyone is getting accounted for. So that's not just the lenders, but the employees as well. So I imagine that if and when the company does file, those employees would be notified. But this impacts, you know, we have seen over 89,000 employees. So it remains a little unclear, though.
Talk
how
about
that process will shake out.
Talk about some of the challenges with Sears that have brought them to this point. It seems like over the past several years, it's been, hey, we're losing money, let's sell something, and we're losing more money, let's sell some more real estate.
Yeah, that's what they've been basically trying to do to keep it going and keep the ball rolling. And there still is about 760 stores or around there still open, but that's significantly down from where they started at their peak. So Lampert, the owner and CEO, he's been pitching and trying to sell off some of the assets, and likely a bankruptcy would you'd see both store closures and further asset sales. But it is a culmination of all the years that they've been doing these financial maneuverings and trying to push out a filing, which we could be seeing soon.
Obviously Sears owns a lot of property, but this is sometimes a way that companies get out of expensive leases, especially those anchor spots in malls. Is there a way that Sears could maybe shred some of those deals?
So it is likely that the first thing the company would try to do is to get out of some of these larger leases. These are very substantial footprints that we're talking about that could impact the malls that the vacancies would leave behind. And so the first thing that they'll probably do in a filing situation would be looking at and identifying which of those stores they would want to shut down, to sell, and to maybe do that at a faster pace than they have, because you have to remember this company has been shutting down its stores, but this could accelerate things.
Well, this is we're also going through the period in which malls have been changing because of people's interests and how they want to shop.
That's true. The whole future of malls is very up in the air, even before the news of this filing. But Sears occupies a lot of space, and what remains to be seen is how that space could be used. Would it be turned into amusement facilities or used in a different way than it has been now? So it really, I think, will set the precedent for other retailers moving forward.
Couple of numbers here. A 125-year-old retailer, Sears, and the company's shares are trading at 59 cents. Thanks very much for joining us today. Catherine Doherty is corporate finance reporter for Bloomberg in New York.
Yeah, those shares down another 31% today as it just keeps on falling. Coming up, trouble ahead for America's big banks.
Because money matters. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Interest rates are on the rise. Let's talk about the potential impact on the banking sector. Dick Bove is joining us, chief financial strategist at Rafferty Capital Markets based in Tampa. Dick, always good to have you on the show. You are bearish for the most part on bank stocks. Tell us what you think.
Well, I think that the quarter that just ended is more ancient history at this point, because the economic environment, the financial environment is different, you know, going forward than it was in the past quarter. In the past quarter, you saw some improvement in loan volume, which was actually quite nice. You saw margins kind of flattish to up a little bit. You saw loan losses flattish to up a bit. Certain businesses like trading fixed income securities, not so good, and trading equities, probably pretty good. When you put it all together, you have a moderate increase in earnings, which should make holders of bank stocks happy. The problem is, looking forward, if interest rates, in fact, do go up at the rate that the Fed has projected, then the banks have a problem. I know that everybody who looks at banks says that if interest rates go up, banks make more money and it's a good time for all. But the fact is, interest rates have been going up for the last 2.5 years, and the impact that everybody has argued would occur has not happened. In other words, we've not seen bank margins improve that much as a result of the increase in the Fed funds rate. Specifically, the Fed funds rate is up 184 basis points, and bank interest margins are up 26, which means that for every 7 basis point increase in the net interest in the Fed funds rate, you're getting 1 basis point increase in the margins. And finally, the second thing that you see going forward is that if interest rates keep going up, it keeps reducing the value of bank assets. 92% of what banks own are financial assets. interest rates go up, the value of those assets go down. So I don't want to put my money into a bunch of companies with their assets declining. Their capital is likely to get hit. I want to put my money in companies where there's an increase in capital, and that's not going to be the banking industry.
Now, do you see this as industry-wide, or are there certain banks that are maybe better positioned to still do okay in the rising interest rate environment?
Well, you know, I think that banks which are heavily involved with corporate finance activities should do reasonably well. But I think, you know, in the main, all banks are going to have to increase what they pay for deposits. All banks are going to see their margins flatten out. All banks are going to see the value of the assets that they hold go down. Certain banks like Citigroup will get hit a lot harder because 60% of their money comes, their deposits come from overseas. Other banks like, you know, Silicon Valley Bank will not get hit virtually at all because they've got all of these deposits coming from the people who own all these FANG stocks. So, you know, there is a difference, but in general, lighten up on your bank positions.
Dick, against this backdrop, where would you invest?
Well, I think that what I'm doing personally is I've just put a chunk of money into 6 months treasuries that roll every 6 months. And the reason I did that is because I want to see I want to get the increase in rates which are occurring in the market, which I'll get with a slight lag because these treasuries roll over every 6 months. And I don't want any risk. And I assume that since these treasuries pay the full maturity value after 6 months, I've got no risk in the principal, and I'm getting the increases in interest rates as they occur, and therefore that's where I put my money.
Dick Beauvais,
that's
always
where I did put my money.
That's great. Yeah, thanks for the analysis. Dick Beauvais, Chief Financial Strategist at Rafferty Capital Markets, based in Tampa.
WVBM News Time, 12:25. Let's take a look at the markets now, and here's Elisa Parenti.
Chris, we remain deep in the red. The Dow falling 363, NASDAQ down almost 2% or 141 points, and the S&P lower by 40 or almost 1.5% down. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg sliding more than 1%. Now let's turn to Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities in Normal. Kurt?
Well, good afternoon, Lisa. Grain market has been under pressure also. Tomorrow's monthly supply-demand report for the grain complex is expected to show slightly higher production estimates, which in return will have higher production that has generated some selling interest. Also, weaker outside markets has limited the buying interest. Corn futures are 1 to 2 cents lower, soybeans 10 to 12 cents lower, and the wheat market 3 to 4 cents lower. This is Kurt Kimmel with Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thank you, Kurt. I'm Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Stocks are taking a hit today. We'll see what's moving Wall Street.
Personal Finance Wednesday, strategies to keep your investment portfolio safe.
The proposed merger between CVS Health and Aetna is getting a thumbs up from the Department of Justice, though there are conditions attached.
There is concern about accidental calls to emergency centers coming from smartwatches.
Hurricane Michael strengthening as it nears the Florida coast with sustained winds of nearly 150 miles an hour.
On Wall Street, the Dow Industrials down 434 points, the NASDAQ off 146, and the S&P 500 down by 42.5.
Some scattered rain showers in Chicagoland today, high of 74. Tomorrow, a high of just 50, right now 72 O'Hare. 71 Midway, 73 along the lakefront. The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park.
Markets are slumping today. We're joined by John Beaver, president of Phase 3 Advisory Services and registered principal with Royal Alliance Associates in Buffalo Grove. Welcome to the program, John. What's roiling the markets today?
Well, Chris, today we are reminded that stocks are volatile, and we're getting an effect from interest rates and tariffs. Now, this has been in the news for months. But today, the selling is becoming more profound because we tested the 50-day moving average yesterday in the S&P 500 and broke through today, and that has created this wave of selling. You know, it's easy to get lulled into a false sense of security when the market is moving up, and these are the times that we get reminded that the market can be vulnerable, especially at a time like this where the rates have been rising and the P.E. ratios are extended. We've had the situation where we've had 30 years of this positive correlation between stocks and bonds as rates have fallen. Now we're in this period of decoupling.
And the rates, the situation, people are a little afraid. What's going on?
So as rates move up, and for a while it looked like the yield curve might flatten, but we've got some steepness there on the short end. What happens is people look at their stocks and the dividend yield, and they say, I'm getting 1.8 on the average S&P 500 stock, but today I can actually look at my money market, or I can look at a very short-term treasury, and I can get over 2% now, 2.25% on the 3 months. So being defensive becomes a little bit more palatable rather than staying in stocks. And again, we're getting this movement of a wave that says, hey, let's go ahead and take some money off the table, which is never a bad idea to take some profits. Now, the tariffs are also an interesting thing. Yesterday, I was at a store pricing out some tile for my home, and the salesperson said, you want to buy today because the prices are going to go up by the end of the month due to the tariffs. And that's one instance, but you multiply that across the economy. Maybe people are finally coming to the point where they're saying, maybe we need to take some money off the table because the tariffs are going to go into effect, and they are going to affect sales.
What do you think is going on with tech stocks? Not only are they getting hammered today, I mean, the NASDAQ down nearly 2%. It was over 2% at one point, but we've seen kind of a sustained pullback here.
Yeah, I think that this is back to that the market being vulnerable, P.E. ratios being extended, especially true for the FANG stocks, except perhaps maybe Apple. And so the first thing is we got to pull back to support. As an example, support in Amazon is at about 1632. So we still have some ways to go, trading around 1,800 right now. I wouldn't read a lot into it just yet in terms of a change for these stocks, but certainly they're vulnerable. And if your portfolio is overweight, you should be trimming. And this is not a bad time actually to trim. It feels like it's a horrible sell-off, but when you take a look at where we have come so far this year, most positions are still up in price.
So do you see for the investor who maybe has a while left, you know, they're not looking for short term when it comes to the tech stocks. Are there some of these bigger FANG names that maybe hold on to it for a while and see what happens down the road?
The P.E. ratio on Apple looks pretty good, and their return on assets is very good. Their return on assets is 16.91. Compare that to Amazon at about 5%. So that might be something to look at. The other thing is, as investors, we have to force ourselves into the discipline of pulling some money off the table, taking some profits, having some cash for when these opportunities arise. We're at the point in the cycle right now, as interest rates do rise, these sell-offs will probably happen more frequently, and they create opportunity at this point in the cycle. I don't see anything turning negative like the financial crisis for, you know, perhaps a decade or two, but there will be these pullbacks, there will be recessions that hit. It's nice to have the cash when the market goes on sale in order to go nibbling and diversify the portfolio. So right now, I actually would look at diversifying.
You think that it will be another 10 years, really?
Before another financial crisis, not a recession.
Well, yes.
You know, recession could be, you know, who knows? I'm seeing anywhere from 6 months to a couple of years. But in terms of a major, major financial crisis, these major financial crises come along about every 50 to 60 years. We had ours in 2008. Prior to that, it was the Great Depression. And the Fed really did do a good job of walking us through the 2008 situation. So I think investors can have that long-term view as long as they're careful about their buys, recognizing that when interest rates get up to a critical point, that's where we'll have some more issues. And that might be around the 5.5% to 6% range, but that could still be 10 years away.
Do you see a herd mentality going on here? More and more people pulling money out, other people follow? Or is there just a general sense in which, as you're saying, it's time to diversify and also time to take some money off the table and wait for better buying days?
I'm not seeing the total herd mentality just yet because the VIX has not gone above 19. So we touched 19 yesterday. We are in the danger zone right now. But I wouldn't be surprised if we see the herd mentality kick in the next week. After all, this is October, so this October, it looks like it's not going to disappoint.
John, and thanks for joining us today. Nice to have you on the program. John Beaver is president of Phase 3 Advisory Services, registered principal with Royal Alliance Associates in Buffalo Grove. Up next, Personal Finance Wednesday, reducing your exposure through a smart investing plan.
Cashing in with conversation. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Personal Finance Wednesday on the Noon Business Hour, sponsored by Geiger Wealth. This afternoon, we're going on the defensive to protect your investment dollars, continuing with some insight into what to do as markets are pulling back. Vahan Janjigian is joining us, Chief Investment Officer at Greenwich Wealth Management in Greenwich, Connecticut. Vahan, we're going to talk more generally about what to do to protect yourself in the case of a downturn. But, I mean, let's ask you, do you think that a day like today and what we've been seeing over the last couple of weeks, you think it's kind of the start of maybe a more sustained downturn?
Well, maybe, but, you know, I don't think this is anything unusual. I think investors have forgotten the fact that stock markets can be volatile. In 2011, for example, a 1% or greater move in the S&P 500 on any particular day was fairly common. We haven't had that in a long time. So I think, you know, people are a little bit concerned because what's happening today has been quite unusual from the recent past. But throughout the history of the stock market, I would say it's normal.
So for investors that maybe were riding the markets as they continued to grow and now they're a little concerned, what's some strategies that they can put in place to be more defensive?
Well, if you're really concerned and you're concerned about getting sleep at night, you know, the most obvious thing to do is to reduce your exposure to equities. You know, sell some of your stocks, raise cash, and sit on the cash for a while. Now, of course, that might have tax consequences because it forces you to possibly realize some capital gains. Another thing you could do is instead of selling, since it's already October, we're getting close to the end of the year, what you can do is you can buy some insurance by buying put options on a stock market index and assuming that your portfolio is correlated with the index. If the market falls, you'll lose money on your stocks, but you'll make money on the options, and that'll make up for some of it. I also think we've gone through a very unusual period where growth stocks have outperformed value stocks for a very extended period of time, and I think a rotation might be going on. So you might want to consider, if you want to stay fully invested in stocks, you might want to consider selling some of your growth stocks and allocating the money toward the value stocks that have already been punished. There are a number of stocks out there that do not have the kind of revenue growth that many investors have been chasing, and they've really been punished by the stock market, and now they're selling at, you know, extremely favorable valuations.
One concern, Vahan, that we keep hearing is about interest rates. Do you have that concern?
Well, yes, of course. You know, when interest rates go up, what that means is that the cost of capital to corporations goes up, and it also means that the required rate of return for investors also goes up. So higher interest rates or interest rates that are rising, generally that's not a good thing for stocks. It's definitely not a good thing for bonds either. So that is a concern. However, what gives me hope is that what we're seeing now is that the yield curve is steepening. We've been through a period of a yield curve that was relatively flat, and everybody was concerned that it might invert and we might go into a recession. But now the yield curve is steepening, and that's something that you normally see when the economy is doing well. So I'm not concerned that the economy might be going into a recession. However, I do believe that the stock market has gotten way ahead of the economy. So a sell-off in the stock market would not surprise me. In fact, I would welcome a bit of a sell-off in the stock market to give me the opportunity to put more cash to work.
Vahan, thanks so much for joining us today. Vahan Janjigian is Chief Investment Officer at Greenwich Wealth Management in Greenwich, Connecticut. Join us at this time tomorrow for Technology Thursday, and still to come, an update on the proposed mega merger between CVS and Aetna.
It's 60 Minutes of Financial Planning. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The Department of Justice is giving the green light to the proposed merger involving CVS Health and Aetna. Let's get the latest from Bruce Japson, who is Chicago-based healthcare writer for Forbes. Bruce, what does this mean?
Well, Chris and Cisco, the CVS, which is the nation, it's a large drugstore chain that competes with our friends up at Walgreens in Deerfield, they're buying the nation's third largest health insurance company that was announced almost a year ago. And there were some antitrust and concerns. And so the Justice Department is saying, hey, that deal can happen. However, they are going to have to divest Aetna's Medicare drug plans, about 2 million now. CVS and Aetna will still sell Medicare drug plans. But there was concern that there would have too much market share in this whole deal. And I think if looking forward, I think this is a whole new thing you've never seen before, where a giant provider of health care is going to own what is a payer of health care in Aetna. So we will see what kind of plans that they end up offering people going forward.
What's going on in the healthcare sector right now?
Well, right now, that's a great question. What we're seeing is, what we have not quite seen it on this scale, where your doctor is usually someone who has a contract with a health insurance company, and that's how healthcare works. Now you're finding where health insurance companies are buying doctors, hospitals, pharmacies. In this case, it was the other way around, where a provider of healthcare is buying insurer. But the whole idea is they want to provide a whole package of services. And they allege, as they've alleged for some time now, that this is a way that they can better control costs. Now, if you are in an Aetna health plan and you happen to have the ability to go to a Walgreens, I would say you could kiss that relationship goodbye, because if you're Aetna and you're now part of CVS, in the package of services they're going to offer for a lower cost is that you go to the CVS drugstore, and if you try to go to Walgreens, it's going to cost you more. So you're going to see more narrow networks, which is some people don't like that. They want to choose where they're going to go, but increasingly to get the lower cost, you're going to have to pick a narrow network plan.
Bruce Jepson, always appreciate the insight. You can hear Bruce's reports on health Monday evenings and Saturday mornings right here on News Radio WBBM. Past programs later today, a podcast of this hour at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the all-new Radio.com app. Bloomberg checks the markets next as they continue to fall. WBBM News Time, 12:55, wrapping up the WBBM Noon Business Hour with a check of the markets from Bloomberg, sponsored by Baird. Here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco, these are the worst losses for the main averages since the beginning of summer, and they come as the effects of the U.S.-China trade war hit corporate profits. The Dow sinking 407 points, or 1.5%. Right now, the benchmark's just 18 points above the 26,000 mark. NASDAQ falling 2%, or 156 points. S&P down 1.5%, or 45. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg falling 1.25%. Among our biggest decliners, Boeing, Caterpillar, and Fastenal, a manufacturing company, added to the angst about trade tensions after reporting rising material costs will crimp its profit. Estee Lauder and Tiffany are worried about sales to their Chinese customers after a French luxury goods maker confirmed China is enforcing its customs rules more strictly. With business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago. WCFS-FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.